Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app.
Get tender USDA choice boneless chuck roast or stew meat for $6.99 a pound. Then get 2 liter bottles of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $1.49 each, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm a general philosophy of the internet was mostly a mistake.
Look at us.
Mostly.
This is not what the Supreme Court wants to hear, that they like know us that well, but it really does feel like they know
they got a profile on you. They know all your likes, dislikes.
Richard, they're Mother's using it name. To bless me. They're not using it to attack me. They're using it to find my friends.
It's a gift.
Thank you. I have 4 hours of Wheel of Time I want to get through tonight. Don't get excited, Richard. I have like a lot of Wheel of Time
Can't
I want to get through
me.
Tonight. So I don't
Can't
have time to
me.
Scroll or like.
Before
what
X,
was
before
the political
Elon?
Affiliation of Tumblr?
Oh, my God. It's
That's
mentally unstable.
Welcome everyone to the Tune Around Podcast. My name is Richard.
My name is Austin.
Today, we're talking about the almost fantastic thing that happened. TikTok almost
was gone forever.
It was almost vanquished, but sadly, it lives to fight another day.
Everybody would have had to come to BookTube where the real book communities come. So in order to celebrate the almost banning of TikTok, we invited a bunch of TikTokers and BookTokers. including we have Mads from Chris and Mads. We have Gina from Gina Reads and Allie from Allie Reads, all on TikTok. And Chris and Mads have a YouTube channel of their own. If you guys want to go through it in the order, I guess we just introduced there. Give a quick hi to people. And Mads, you're a recurring guest. Hi again, Mads.
Oh, I'm so happy to be back. And I'm so sorry, Richard, that we couldn't be here celebrating your villain origin story. But
I know.
We live to fight another day on TikTok. So you're just going to have to wait 90 days.
Darn.
And Gina, welcome to the channel for the first time. Gina, we, for those that don't know, we met each other at Dragonsteel. And so that was super cool meeting you in person.
Yeah, it's very unlikely that you usually meet someone first in person and then you have a call like this. So it's really nice, actually, to switch it up a bit.
Definitely. And Allie, great to finally collab with you. Welcome to the channel.
So happy to be here. I've met Kristen and Gina in person, but this is my first time meeting you guys online. So it's so fun.
And so people get an idea, you all have TikTok accounts. Do you want to go, you all have then the tens and hundreds of thousands, like your big book talkers who have been in the community. Do you guys want to give how long at this point, like in that same order, we can go Mads, how long have you been on BookTok? Also your BookTube stuff, but BookTok.
Well, on the day of the ban, Kristen and I were celebrating 2 years on TikTok.
Wow.
Yes, we had a little celebration post, but you know, RIP, whatever.
And Gita?
Oh, honestly, I have not been here that long. I think maybe a year, a little over a year since I joined BookTok, which it feels like longer, but in the best way possible.
Yes. And Ellie?
And then I think I was 2 years on January 1st because I started a BookTok because it was like my New Year's resolution to do a passion project. And that was what I picked. And then I cannot stop. So here we are.
Rich and I, we've been on there since March of 2022, so like 2.5 years or something now. Nice. Coming up, yep. We started TikTok when we started a BookTube channel. It's been one of the reasons for our growth because it helped a lot.
It's a primary reason we were able to keep going.
Yeah. So as much as you hate to say it, though, like we are also BookTokers.
Unfortunately, yeah, we are. We play both sides of the conflict.
Yes. And also all of their links will be in the description below. How we're kind of formatting this episode, we'll have lots of rambling for you all. But I actually did some research here. I read over the 25-page document that the Supreme Court put out about the TikTok ban. And just for the audience's sake, for anybody here to kind of give us context of what happened, we're not getting political this episode, just describing what happened and then asking all these BookTokers that are here, like, what are you going to do in the future? Because as of right now, we're recording this Monday, January 20th, BookTok or TikTok was banned for about 14 hours. There was a bit of confusion here. We'll explain all of this, but TikTok was officially banned, then came back. This will be being posted a Friday, so this coming week. So something could change within those 5 days, but this is the information we have now. So if you don't mind, I'll give a quick backstory of what happened here.
The floor is yours.
In the TikTok ban. So Supreme Court of the United States, this is a TikTok ban for the U.S. TikTok has 170 million users in the U.S. alone, over a billion worldwide. People know how big this is. And the specific feature of TikTok is its for you page and algorithm, which I think we can all agree. It's like the best algorithm. It's your guys' experience. Sorry to ad lib off this, but how was your experience with the for you page just as a user?
Oh, yeah. It's infinitely better than any other platform. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I tried YouTube Shorts for a second. I was like, oh, this is not the same.
I don't know what they do, but it is like there's a reason it's the top of the shorts game and it's been there for a long time.
There's also a reason I don't have it downloaded on my phone.
You'd spiral. Yeah.
I know. I know my weaknesses. I can't handle it. I'm not strong enough.
So the parent company of TikTok is ByteDance, and this is owned, it's a Chinese company who owns TikTok. Now, before coming to the Supreme Court of the United States, in the U.S., just being very basic for anybody that doesn't know, there's three branches of government, the executive, legislative, judicial branch. This didn't just go to the judicial branch, the Supreme Court right away. First, in the executive branch, in August of 2020, so we're looking at 4 or 5 years ago, President Trump issued an executive order finding that the spread in the United States of mobile applications developed and owned by companies in China continues to threaten the national security, foreign policy, and economy of the United States. So he passed an executive order called the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, the IEEPA, to prohibit certain transactions involving ByteDance. So just to show, this has been going on since 2020 where this kind of started. And just days after issuing that executive order, President Trump ordered ByteDance to divest all interests and rights in any property that is, in quotes, used to enable or support ByteDance's operation of TikTok application in the U.S., along with, in quotes, any data obtained or derived from U.S. users or U.S. TikTok users. So anyways, ByteDance filed a suit to challenge this and ended up going to the D.C. court. And throughout all this, this didn't actually ban TikTok. There was a bit of going back and forth, and the outcome of this is they tried to negotiate with each other. No negotiations happened, kind of fizzled. There was an issue brought up, fizzled. That's the short version of that. Anyways, in the background, while that was happening, Congress and the legislative branch ended up passing what's called the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act. You call our name like Tudor Ramble long? That's some BS. That's a long name. So for the people in the back, any of you, since this is a little bit of class session, can any of you repeat that? What did I just say? What was the act called?
I need an acronym that's super snappy, please.
It's called the PAFACA.
PAFACA? The Pathfinder? It's called the Pathfinder Act.
I like it.
Okay.
So this act made it unlawful for any entity to provide certain services to, in quotes, distribute, maintain, or update, in quotes, a foreign adversary controlled application in the U.S. Now, what does this act actually cover? It means basically what the act says is, one, if your name is ByteDance or TikTok, you can't be here. And number two, any future company that ends up meeting these qualifications, and the qualifications they covered was if an application has over a million active users or monthly users and is also controlled by a foreign adversary, you also qualify, just to cover future people. But basically, they're calling out TikTok.
So Red Note.
Maybe, yeah. Red Note.
That could also
be
one.
Okay. Okay. I think that would be next.
Yep.
Yeah,
absolutely could be. Yes. So they're trying to cover future ones as well. But this act was specifically targeted toward TikTok. And the act prohibitions, this is what we're talking about now, they take place 270 days after an application is designated a foreign adversary controlled application. So, and you can extend it by 90 days after that 270 days, but the president can if it's agreed upon. But the point of this too, just to look at, we're not getting political here, because it had bipartisan support. It was voted 352-65 in Congress. That's by like 155 Democrats, 197 Republicans, way less voted against. There was 50 Democrats against, 15 Republicans against. So both bipartisan support from Congress. Then it was also bipartisan executive branch a bit, because Trump in 2020 had issues with TikTok. Then Biden signed this as well after Congress passed it. So at no point was anybody on TikTok's side.
Except for those 65 men in Congress. Exactly, they were our besties. Those 65. And I don't want to say they're just men because there were probably women on our side too. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Those were our 65 besties. Yeah. Yeah.
You have 65 people did support or against. So in support of you guys.
It feels weird being part of the majority decision.
You don't like that. You need to flip your opinion.
I know. I never like it when I'm with the majority. That's normally just a cringe position.
So this went to the judicial branch because it was being challenged by courts. It went through some of the lower courts. Won't go through all those decisions. Eventually went up to the Supreme Court. They had to go, hey, is this constitutional? Now, the whole question of this was, is this protected by the First Amendment and free speech, or is it a national security concern of the United States to where TikTok, because it's owned by a foreign adversary, should be banned? So that's the simple thing. I could probably stop talking, but I'll get a little detail just because I got kind of nerded out. I was like reading all this stuff. So the petitioners argued, and the petitioners in this case is TikTok's team. They argued that this ban would violate First Amendment activities, which includes content moderation, generation, access to a direct medium for expression, association with another speaker or preferred editor, and receipt of information and ideas. And they're saying an effective ban on the social media platform would prevent 170 million U.S. users to be burdened in a non-trivial way to expressing themselves. And actually, this is the court saying this, that, hey, this is not trivial. We understand that 170 million users would not be able to express themselves on this platform. So that's why we're taking this matter and we're going to be looking at this. Now, at the same time, a law targeting a foreign adversary's control over communication platform is in many ways different. This is the court saying this. I should make this clear. The court is, I'm reading now off the Supreme Court's decision. They're saying, hey, at the same time, even though we understand that it's not trivial and that this is serious First Amendment concerns, we should also look into this because this is controlled by a foreign adversary and they have control over a communications platform in many ways different from the regulations of a non-expressive activity. And I can give the short version of this. They were looking at two different things. This is what the decision came down to. They determined there were content-based laws and content-neutral laws. The difference that they determined between that was this wasn't banning content-based laws, as in it wasn't specifically saying, hey, this kind of speech should be banned, like ban people that are promoting this or ban people that are saying no against this or ban people that are doing this. Instead of it being a content-based law, this was a content-neutral. It was attacking the platform, not the speech coming from the platform. So because the court sees it as a content-neutral law, which means, hey, the content-neutral laws are more subject to an intermediate level of scrutiny because in most cases they pose a less substantial risk of excising certain ideas or viewpoints from the public dialogue. Now, TikTok is saying TikTok, the court says, is content neutral because of this. And the court also says it is true that speech restrictions based on the identity of the speaker are all too often simply a means to control content. So they understand that even though if you go after a platform, that could still be a way to censor speech. So they say, but regulations that discriminate among media or among different speakers within a single medium often they present serious First Amendment concerns. So they're addressing that. But what they're saying is TikTok essentially is a unique case. TikTok and their defense kept coming after them saying like, hey, look, why just TikTok? Why just TikTok? Essentially, the court's constant response is TikTok is a specific case because it does the national security concerns of the United States does supersede the First Amendment in this case specifically because of specific things that the petitioners were not able to argue against. For example, the court brought up that a user allows TikTok access to the user's phone contact list to connect with others on the platform. TikTok can access, in quotes, any data stored in the user's contact list, end quote, including names, contact information, contact photos, job titles, notes. Access to such detailed information about U.S. users, the government worries, may enable, in quotes, China to track the locations of federal employees and contractors, build dossiers of personal information for blackmail, and conduct a corporate espionage. Now, all this to say, we really know it's first law versus national security concern. I will stop rambling on the other 2,000 words I've written and go to the end of their conclusion, which is that there is no doubt that, the court says, for more than 170 million Americans, TikTok offers a distinctive and expansive outlet for expression, means of engagement, and source of community, but Congress has determined that divestiture is necessary to address its well-supported national security concerns regarding TikTok's data collection practices and relationship with a foreign adversary. For the foregoing reasons, we conclude that the challenge challenged provisions do not violate petitioner's First Amendment rights. The judgment of the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit is affirmed. It is so ordered. And that's our episode, folks. Whoa. So that's the...
And then Trump came in and said, how about no?
And so in 2020 said yeah. yes, but then now says no. And also Biden was backtracking
still,
it.
But thing is, so, we're still in a neutral position of like, because yeah. I don't think he's actually signed an executive order yet.
Nope,
but
not yet. As of today.
How did it come back online before Trump actually said, no, we're good?
Now, this
how
is,
did he do this?
This is where all you come in, because we all experienced this. TikTok, a notification came up saying, hey, we're down. And it lasted how long?
14 hours yeah. or less.
Oh, there you count. Did you count?
Well, they rolled it out, so it didn't happen like all at once for everyone. And like yeah. mm-hmm. Emma Skies, if you guys follow her, she was on live when it went down, and her live stayed up. So she continued streaming oh. while the notification that TikTok had shut down was on her phone.
Yeah, I think I was kicked off around like 9:30 is when they banned me.
I've also heard that VPNs weren't helping either.
Oh, really?
I tried.
And
Gina, of course you did.
It didn't work.
Which
I just wanted to see.
It made sense in the sense that the account was made in a certain mm-hmm. geographical, like they know, oh, that account is a US account. So yeah. no matter where you're popping out of, like whatever node you're actually saying, it's still a US account. So they weren't banning based on location. They were banning based on account. So, makes sense.
Now, we have to start at least with all three of you here are book talkers. See how I exclude us. all three of you here are.
How often do we still upload?
It's actually
shorts?
A lot less frequently. Yeah. But if it's back on, maybe more.
We'll have to talk about yeah. it because, yeah, maybe we should start coming out in full.
Yeah.
Video every day.
Because since you're all book talkers, obviously want book talk to stay up. So would you guys give insight of like, what was your initial reaction when it went down? Were you freaking out? Were you thinking like, I need to jump on ship to go to BookTube? How important was it to still have book talk functioning?
Do we want to do like our little order to keep?
No, any Gina, it's just hectic now. Go for Gina, go for it.
Jump in. There's no raised hand function.
Okay. I'll speak. For me, I was someone who was in a very neutral position of feeling about book talk going away. I had my pros and cons to it. To some extent, I can see, Richard, why you don't like it. I get that. It pulls you in and there's all these things. But when the ban was first talked about years ago, that's when I started focusing on other platforms. Because I'm like, this is probably going to come back at one point. The one thing, though, that I was upset about thinking book talk being banned forever is it is so much easier to build a community because people just get access much quicker. Whereas like YouTube, you got to push a little bit. Instagram's a little odd. I think maybe over the last few months, the reason why my account specifically kind of grew so quickly is because so many people were fleeing there because TikTok was going away. But I wouldn't be surprised if some of the engagement that I was consistently getting on Instagram goes down a bit because TikTok is still around. But I was like, here and there, I'd be upset because I feel like you just bring in new people a lot easier and quicker on TikTok because that algorithm knows who should be coming to you. Where sometimes on Instagram, people are like, I have never read a book in my life. Why am I getting this video right now? I was like, I don't know. I don't know how this algorithm works.
Did all three of you meet on BookTok, essentially?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
How did you guys actually meet?
Yeah. How?
Like, how did that happen? Did you guys just saw one of your guys' videos and like sent a DM or?
Well, I started the group, I think, right, guys? The group text.
The group chat?
Yes. I was heavily stalking Allie because we were reading Red Rising at the same time with our friend Micah. And this is like probably like April, May of 2023, maybe? 2024, 2023. I can't remember. Anyways, but I just was like, we were talking in DMs. And one thing that I will say is that TikTok DM feature is garbage sauce. Like you can't send memes, you can't send videos, you can't do anything. Like the DM feature sucks. So we immediately were like, we need to take this off the app, get intimate. And that's what we did. We started a group chat. And then Allie and Gina, I think I saw they met up at like a...
Our meet cute is so funny.
Yes. Yeah, they had a really cute meet cute. And I was like, hey, we're bringing her into the relationship. So then Gina was at it. Yeah, you guys should talk about your meet cute. Yeah.
Well, because
our one bed trope.
I think it was, dare I say, it was a Red Rising that united us all at, like, in some way or another. But I had been chatting with Gina for a while. And then I was in Chicago for a work trip. And I like loosely mentioned it to Gina. And she was like, wait, I'm in Chicago for C2E2. And I was like, what if I canceled my flight back and I also went to C2E2? And you had like an extra ticket, or like you had a hotel already. So I ended up staying. I had never met Gina before. I stayed in her hotel room. I was with your friend from home.
Yeah.
And that was our moment.
C2E2, I was going because Brandon Sanderson was going, and I managed to get a signing or a ticket to his signing. And they also had the ability for you to apply as a content creator. And I had already bought two tickets and I got approved. So I just had this extra one. And then when Allie was there, I was like, well, it's time to bully you. We need to meet. It's not weird. Come stay in my bed with me in this hotel in this random city. It's going to be great. And if you come, I was really bribing her. I was like, if you come, I will get you in. I will get a book signed for you by Brandon Sanderson. Cancel your flight, come with me. And she did it, and it was great.
Gina is a gift giver. Like, she has a very giving heart. She will, like, she handles all the logistics. Like, I feel like Gina has the mother heart of our group. Like, we would all be chickens with our heads cut off, except that Gina, like, organizes everything and keeps everyone straight. It's wonderful.
How large is your group?
There's five of us. Six with Kristen. Yeah.
Yes. Who are the other two? Because I'm not as familiar. I saw in the video, but I didn't know their channels.
Micah from Micah Mia Reads is a TikToker. And then Margaret, she's on Instagram and TikTok. She's in Canada, so she would not get banned. She did not get banned.
Got it.
She was
safe, yes.
She was safe.
So I guess same question for Mazzarelli, whoever wants to jump in, same question we asked Gina. I guess, what was your initial reaction to when it got banned? Because did you have that existential, holy crap? I mean, how much do you rely on it?
Allie, you go, man.
I mean, I kind of told, like, I thought we would be back. I just didn't realize how soon we would be back. I thought it'd be like a 2-week situation. And then it was obviously not that. I think my thought process was like, I guess all good things come to an end, I guess, momentarily. But then when, like, following that thought, I was like, if I actually permanently lost access to this platform, like where would my like creative outlet go? Where would like my constant communication with like all of these parasocial or whatnot relationships go? So I probably would eventually make a YouTube or something of that kind, because Instagram is not my favorite. I can't do the aesthetic stuff. It's a low budget situation we've got going on. So I feel like YouTube might have been better.
I guess some people understand that. Why is TikTok so superior in their algorithm? What is it about it that nobody wants to go to Instagram to do that or YouTube to do that?
You like a single cat picture on Instagram and like your entire For You page is cats. And like, that's okay, but that's not what I want.
Is that your thing? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think that TikTok somehow in their crack cocaine algorithm is like, it's not that it like learns what keeps your attention. It learns like who keeps your attention and who you're like engaging with, not just what you're watching. And it's like they want you to form those relationships. And so it's like, even within BookTok is huge. It's so varied, but it's like you end up finding and getting repeat content from people who are like in your niche of your niche. So it's like, I'm not seeing people who are wrecking like Colleen Hoover or people who are reading litfic. I would probably never have found Michael Kist, who reads history primarily, except that he has fantasy crossover and like the fantasy books, the actual titles of the books that he is reading in the fantasy genre are books that I have recently read and reviewed on Goodreads. It's like it knows. And I realize I'm not, this is not what the Supreme Court wants to hear, that they like know us that well, but it really does feel like
They got a profile on you. They got it all synced up. They know all your likes, dislikes.
Richard, they're using it to bless me. They're not using it to attack me. They're using it to find my friends.
It's a gift.
Thank you.
There's
creators. You know, one day they'll call up your mother and say, like, hey.
It'll be great.
Hey,
actually,
mother.
They'll probably call up my dad because he's been on our channel.
Oh, okay.
Oh, with impeccable taste.
I know. He has the best.
I think something, too, that people really like as a user on TikTok is even the small user-friendliness of it. Because for the little bit that I had to be on YouTube Shorts and Reels, something as simple as the clear display. I don't get that there. And I know 2X. Allie and Maddie are like, where's the 2X speed? These people are speaking too slow. I need something quicker. You can't do that. So something as simple as that also just makes TikTok seem more superior as a user. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand it until I was forced to just be on the other platforms. So I was like, wow, this kind of sucks. Mm.
TikTok also has a superior editor compared to Instagram or
Is that CapCut? Is that correct?
And I just edit right in the app.
Oh, in
right
the app.
In TikTok. In
app. Which is a hot take so fast. For a lot of, like, a lot of people swear by CapCut, but I know, yeah.
I use CapCut. They banned that. I drew the line.
That's not back, right? That's still.
I don't know. I'm scared to look. Right? I'm not going to look right now.
And for those who don't know, CapCut is an editing program, and it's super easy to put subtitles in and effects. It just kind of is a built-in, very user, a great UI.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I use that just for TikToks. Like for YouTube, I use Premiere Pro, but when something's so quick on your phone, CapCut's just so simple. It's very similar, I think, to the in-app TikTok editor, though.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's very, just like the barrier to entry, I feel like, for making a video is so low versus Instagram. I mean, maybe it's because I'm unfamiliar with the platform, but I was like, how do I click?
It's also just so intuitive. Like, it's like, mm-hmm. I don't know. The UX is just so good. Like, you really can, I don't know. You can do it all in one spot. You don't have to look for anything. So, yeah.
Where do
but
you guys
I don't
think
know if
would...
I answered your question, Austin, about how I felt about it.
Yeah.
But we can
how did
move on.
You feel?
There's like how Kristen and I felt personally, and then there's how we felt like existentially, I guess.
Yeah.
I think existentially for the book community, I was very devastated, like for the community at large. Personally, I think Kristen and I are in a like phase of like TikTok feels incredibly comfortable to us and we can do it in our sleep. So it's not, we love it and we cherish it and we love our community there. And we are ready for challenge and we are ready to grow, and I don't mean grow numbers, but like grow our skills and feel that, like Kristen and I kind of live a little bit, I think, for that, the fear of creation, like putting it out there and not knowing it'll be successful and trying to figure out what the limits of our creative abilities are and stretching our minds and stretching our abilities. And so we're not getting that from TikTok anymore, which is why we're exploring other platforms at the same time. So right now I feel like TikTok feels like our baby and we want to nurture it and protect it. And we are so grateful for it. And it is a huge stream of revenue for us right now. So it makes it possible to take risks in other places. So we love it. It does make us sad to lose it. But at the same time, I think we feel ambivalent in the sense that like if it goes, then that just forces us to keep doing the thing that we're feeling pulled to do anyway, which is like, I don't know, as creatives, we're just like always going to want to, we're always going to want to feel that little thrill of terror. It makes us feel alive.
Causes creativity, right? I guess to go off that, you're saying monetarily, you and Chris, do you do this full-time, part-time for, I think we asked you this question last time.
Kristen and I are full-time, but to just be totally transparent, because we split everything 50-50, our combined platforms probably make enough for one of us to live at the level of comfort that we
standard
enjoy.
Living, yeah.
So we split it 50-50, and we both are part of two-income households. So it's not like we afford our standards of living on what we're making currently. But it's a very lucrative side hustle and we are growing it. So
that's
all.
Is that for Gina and Ellie? Do you how much, not numbers or anything, but is it a part-time thing? Is it a complete hobby? Is it a job? How would you define it?
Ellie, you can go first.
For me, I feel like it's still at the hobby level, or yeah, because I don't monetize. I don't really do a lot of ads. Not against doing them. I just haven't done them too many. And then yeah, I have a full time job, so have to post after work hours, or else that would be bad.
Yeah, same, Allie. Same. I'm actually going into the office after recording.
We're recording at 8 p.m.
Oh gosh.
Yeah,
sorry.
I could not imagine that.
Oh. Yeah. I'm not looking forward to it.
I also have the 9 to 5, but I think since expanding into, if it was just TikTok, I wouldn't have the ability to just look at it as a possibility of full time. But I think near the end of the year, sometime I might be able to start considering a move of being able to make it full time, which is a dream. Like being able to make videos and then have more time to write would be a wonderful combination.
I was just going to say too, because if you have a 9 to 5 plus doing content creation plus trying to write a book,
that's a bit much.
I can empathize. Yeah. How far are you with the book? What's the update? Anything going well?
Oh, I'm a little bit further than I was when we were in Utah, but
okay.
Not as much just because there were so many moving around. And then with Patreon, I'm getting a little bit more ahead with that as well. So now I can start calming down, breathing. But your messages, I'm like, okay, he's doing it. I got this.
Yeah, Gina and I are trying to be we're at the same point with our novels, so we're zoned in. Now, I asked
buddy writing
me.
Yes, Austin, what are you writing?
I'm writing a whimsical fantasy. It's a more YA with this character named Fitz. He's 16, and he finds out his dad lives on another planet, and he's trying to figure out why his parents got divorced. And he's like, "What's going on here?" And so it's an adventure, a coming of age, an intergalactic.
Guardians of the Galaxy meets
Discworld.
Is it like a Terry Pratchett kind of vibe?
Not nearly as witty or like well written as Terry Pratchett. So it's when I mean YA, that's why expectations are YA.
We'll be the ones who determine that.
We'll be the judge.
But hey, I asked that.
Exciting.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say the one thing. Thinking about the TikTok ban was thinking about authors who are doing self published. That's what hurt me the most. I think offered so many of them that ability to get their book out there. I think that hit me harder. I was like, oh no.
It is a great way to promote.
Yeah. Something you guys brought up is because of TikTok's algorithm, it's a lot easier for people the right kind of people to find other people, the like minded. So if an author, say, were trying to promote their book on YouTube, they would have to spend a lot more time to build up that audience.
Yeah.
They'd probably put a lot more time into production. The length has to be longer versus if they just do, it's just going to be easier on TikTok to actually spread the word about their book. And if they have a really cool idea for a book and it really niched down, they'll find that niche rather than on YouTube where they'll niche down to basically fantasy booktube. But there's not too many, you can't niche down that far in YouTube.
I also noticed on YouTube's algorithm, it won't necessarily show me personally on my feed other booktubers in the space. It'll show me if I watch a Wind and Truth review, it'll show me another booktuber who did a review on Wind and Truth. It won't connect me with others based on, you're in the same community sphere. It'll show, you like this topic.
Yeah.
Has that been the same for people?
YouTube is far more based on the individual video rather than the channel.
It has been difficult as a consumer on BookTube trying to find other BookTubers that I would connect with. So I, on one hand, we don't rely on the platform as much, and I have just found BookTubers in general to be wonderful people. The ones we've connected with so far, it seems like they do actively seek out new people in the group, and they will collaborate or they'll invite you to something or something. And so it's kind of like the pressure is more actually on the creators to go find those connections because the app's not going to do it for you. The platform's not going to do it for you. Whereas TikTok really does some heavy lifting in that way. Like you really don't have to look that hard. It's going to find them for you.
Well, speaking of all these kind of algorithms, if the what if world, or maybe 90 days go by and TikTok actually is banned, they're not able to work it out. Which platform do you think would pick up the mantle? Or maybe they wouldn't even pick up the mantle very well, but where do you think most people would go to? Would it be Instagram shorts, reels, whatever they call it, YouTube really? Shorts? Would for some reason go to X? I don't know.
I feel like from what I saw, like most people were like on Instagram.
Okay.
And then a few YouTube, and then like a few Red Note. And then there was another platform that popped up too at the same
time. That's just asking for trouble. Like who?
Yeah.
Who goes, TikTok got banned. I'm going to go to Red.
People were so funny.
A lot of people
sent me screenshots and I was like, that does seem like a fun place to me.
For the audience who's listening in, what is Red Note? If you could explain.
Isn't it just another TikTok, but like a Chinese version of TikTok?
Yeah, because TikTok is banned in China. So they had to make their own.
But like you're signing the user agreement to access the app and it's all in Mandarin. Duolingo got all these downloads because people are trying to learn Mandarin to understand what they were agreeing to and to communicate.
The irony just kills me. I just can't.
What was the other one, though? There was another platform that people were also
hot. There's so many. That's the one thing I think with the ban, there's a ton of apps that have come out that are supposed to be replacement. I think it would take like a year or two for something to really establish itself, but it would take maybe 5 years for it to find the momentum that TikTok has. So it wouldn't be an immediate, but I think if you had to look at as quickly as possible, most people were going to Instagram. It's the most familiar to them.
Yeah.
I wish more people went to BookTube, but that's asking someone who's used to 30, 90 second videos to go to like a 30 minute video. And that attention span doesn't always line up.
Is YouTube Shorts just dying? Like no one using YouTube Shorts in that sense of...
I don't get YouTube Shorts algorithm at all.
Yeah.
I was on there and I was like, why am I listening to a story about someone breaking up with their girlfriend and then there's like this random animal video? I don't know what's going on in here.
How does one access... I've never done YouTube Shorts. Like, is it like on YouTube, you have to go to like a certain panel? Where is it?
There's a tab on the bottom. Like, there's the home page and then there's basically like Shorts.
Maybe I'm crazy, but I think that enough people are still watching YouTube on a desktop and not on their phone that they're not thinking to go to Shorts, whereas everybody is using Instagram and TikTok on their phones. And so, I do think people will flock to Instagram. I have a question because I keep hearing about this app that's in production called Neptune. Is that what it's called?
Never heard of it.
A little blue octopus as its icon. And I think the founders are doing a really good job of explaining what it is and how it will be similar to TikTok and what they are doing to improve what they feel like are shortcomings with TikTok. And of course, it's perfect timing because it's all around the ban. And like you're saying, Gina, I could see something like that taking off. I think that what is rubbing me the wrong way about some of these apps that are coming out is they all seem to have this agenda. And I know we're not trying to make this political, but I think that what I like about TikTok, and maybe I'm just delusional, but I think what I like about TikTok is that it doesn't feel super censored and shut down. And maybe, I don't know, I'm like, well, maybe the fact that it is owned by a company that isn't American means like they don't have a horse in this race. And maybe I am totally delusional. Like maybe they obviously do care who ends up where and who's in their pocket and whatever. But there's like this, I have this like delusion that I love to hold on to, that it's like, this just isn't a super censored space. And I think what's like giving me the ick a little bit about the new platforms that are like, the founders are coming out and like talking about how their platform is going to be so whatever, and their platform's going to be this and their platform's going to be that. It's like, obviously they're trying to promote how good it will be. And so they're like, there won't be any hate speech and it will be super accepting and this kind of behavior won't be tolerated and it'll be this. And I'm like, that sounds great. And also like, if we're really going to have the free speech conversation and we're really going to have the creative freedom conversation, like the less censorship, the better, in my opinion. But
I hear what you're saying. No, I hear what you're saying, because it's whether you're left side, right side, whatever, like throughout history, every side censored. at some point. I mean, and you can look at the different, just use this. We can talk about it directly, but like Blue Sky versus X, you can tell like, which one's going to be more, like we know Elon, and we know on Blue Sky is like a made in opposition to X, I believe. Is that correct?
You can tell in by the cultural zeitgeist, like what's the losing side. The losing side is the one that's complaining about censorship.
Yeah.
That's kind of like if you, they have to leave. Like they have to leave to make their own thing. They're the losing party. And like that's what happens. And so I don't know. It's fun. It's kind of interesting because I remember the different apps of like, what was it? Like Gab, I think.
Gab,
what's
that?
Was a while ago. It was, I think Gab was basically right wing Twitter. Before
what
X,
was the political affiliation of Tumblr?
Oh my God, it's
that's
mentally unstable.
the political ideology of Tumblr is just degenerate. That's what it is.
If you're on there,
pure.
We go back to Tumblr.
It's Glee.
It's
Glee and furries. Furries and
so
Glee.
You would have loved Tumblr,
and
you
you're a little
it.
Sad.
Yeah,
a little
but
sad.
But was it censored? See what I'm saying?
It is now.
It's also easier.
It's
to
also
say.
Fascinating. Of there are so many platforms out there that I think deal in the realm of their own.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Self-censorship, because depending on the size of the platform, it just has a certain kind of community of where like other people are just not there. And so they don't have to censor it. Like I would say I'm trying to think of like good examples of small enough but popular that one political side or other is not on. So like 4chan. Do you think 4chan ever has to censor a liberal person? No, they never have to. Because they're not there.
Gina and Allie and I and the rest of our group have discussed at certain times that it does sort of feel like, I don't know if the whole platform is, but it does feel like certain communities within the platform are self-censoring, which is kind of interesting and kind of, I mean, it can be a positive or a negative, but like, especially in our little niche of book talk, I would say it is, I mean, if somebody acts up, I don't want to say they get canceled, but I mean, people tell them that they messed up. Like that definitely is a thing.
Canceling is like a form of, it's not censoring, but it's definitely a community led, like, not ban. What's the word I'm looking for?
I mean, it's
just like policing. It's just like, hey, like that's not accepted in our community. Like we're not going to do that.
All societies enforce some degree of social norms through shaming. It's that's what it is.
The shame stick.
I feel like we're showing how fantasy readers we are right now.
It's just shame, but on the internet now. And it feels worse because it's instead of like your neighbors going like, hey, you've left the trash can up for like 5 days after trash pickup. Imagine instead of your direct neighbors, thousands of people are yelling at you for leaving your trash out. It's like, it's trash. That's why it feels worse.
Great analogy. It's great. I guess when we're talking about this, then even censorship, we talked about this on an episode we had about censorship with Tom. Mm-hmm. Hey, Tom, where everybody accepts some form of censorship too. Like, would you not want beheadings on your site? Would you not want, when you're talking about a certain thing that is like 99.9% of people wouldn't want, it's not even political. It's just, I wouldn't, these kids have a chance of being on there. So having pornography on your site, is that another level of, would you want that on, especially, is it more kid oriented? Is it TikTok as a platform? So there's certain things like that, that also, if we talk into censorship, but again, the Supreme Court hearing on TikTok wasn't even about the certain types of,
it's just the platform
speech on there. It was just, hey, this platform is owned by an adversary. And
does someone know why it was banned in China specifically? Because that, Chris, Matt, to your point of, maybe it is a bit more politically neutral. The fact that it was banned in China first. Well, and then also the US. That. Like it kind of says like it's one of two options, I think. It's either it's a tool created by the Chinese to subversively like corrupt the American youth, and they don't want that used against their own people. Or it's not actually politically controlled by the Chinese. And so they banned it.
I tend to think it's the latter, but that's just my opinion.
The internet says presumably to shield Chinese users from politically sensitive content posted by foreign users.
Yeah.
So,
but
not enough censorship for them. So they went, you're done.
We can't control it enough for our own people. So banned, therefore... The American fear that they control it is a little sus.
I will say, I'm so glad I read this thing. The Supreme Court did say in their hearing, they did say in the text that because there is the possibility that China could force TikTok to provide the Chinese government with users data, because they have done that with other sites and they can do it with TikTok. That was another reasoning where they have the right to do that, or they could do that. So that was also in there.
Yeah, no, that makes... I mean, China already has everything on their own people through, like, something like WeChat, which is just so widespread of data information. Like, it's wild. I don't think they need data mining for their own people anymore. Like, they don't need TikTok for that, but they could use it for us.
Thing is, too, going to... Oh, sorry, Ellie, did you have something there? I saw you moving.
No, I was... No.
So another question for you. We talked a little, I kind of want to go back to the monetary thing because you all touched on that. Mad, since it seems like you are more you're more monetarily invested in TikTok, and you saw it as a challenge of, hey, if it's banned as well, pushes us to maybe do something on BookTube more or just challenge you guys more. When TikTok is banned, how can you share, like, how much percent would you say it's from TikTok in your, like, revenue stream? Because for us, for example, just to give you a little thing, it's like 2% of 1% of what we make. So when I was banned, it didn't monetarily affect us. So I'm just curious from your end, just where you're coming from.
Sure. So if we're talking about views, revenue from views, it's probably less than 5% for us for views, but we primarily have advertisers hire us for TikTok content. So
I take back what I said. Okay, ours goes up to like 15-20%. Sorry. I forgot about sponsors.
So for sponsored posts, we would be looking at losing, I would say, probably 80% of our advertisers, but that's not 80% of our revenue. Advertising is only a portion of our income. But if we're looking at the piece of our pie that is advertising, we would be losing about 80% of advertisers, although the advertisers are also going to be in a bind, right? So, like, one of our partners is Book of the Month. And last week, ahead of the ban, they went ahead and I'm assuming they emailed most of their list, but they emailed us and just asked, hi, we value our partners. We would love to know if you have other platforms and if you could send us the metrics for your other platforms and let us know if you're still interested in partnering with us on other platforms. So I do think that the advertisers are losing that audience as well. You know, it's not, it's not. So I do think that the publishers who work with us, the authors who work with us, I assume they will want to move to other platforms. Now, we would have to adjust our pricing because our audiences are smaller on other platforms, and we do price based on our audience size. So,
Allie, what do you think you're going to do going forward, though? On, like, now that TikTok ban's an option, it's on the table. Looks like it's back. Are you going to be prepping for anything going forward? Maybe I now need to start putting my eggs in different baskets, or are you just doubling down? I'm putting more eggs into the TikTok basket.
You can see what they want me to do, but I don't know. I've really liked the community and my time on TikTok, and I don't think I would be able to replicate it on YouTube. I could try. Can't knock it till you try it, but the thought of editing, I don't know how you guys do it. The thought of editing a 30, 45 minute video makes me want to cry.
That's what Nick's incredible. For. Thanks, Nick.
Hey, we'll send our editor Nick your way.
Yeah,
he's open. We've been passing him around BookTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he gets raving reviews.
I just don't want to edit that.
Allie, I think you would be surprised that the audience, like Gina, you should weigh in on this. And I mean, Rich and Austin, you guys too. But I think that the audience on YouTube is far more I don't even want to say they're forgiving. I think that they're consuming the content in different spaces than people who are consuming TikTok. So like if someone's opening TikTok on the subway and they're watching, they want to get through like 10 videos on their subway ride, that's very different than someone who is pulling up a YouTube video to watch like while they eat lunch or to listen to on a commute. So you might not have to edit it that hard. Like they don't, it's a, they're in a different mind space when they are, listen to me, I sound like a fantasy reader. They're in a different thought cage when they are consuming the content. So I don't think you have to cut out like every time you say and every time you say like. I don't know that it has to, like, you're, they're using a different part of their brains when they're consuming content on YouTube. That's my theory. Do you guys agree? Gina, Austin, Rich?
Well, yeah. I saw someone for your YouTube video that you posted, Maddie, with all of us, someone tagged all of us and they like put it up on their like TV and they were watching it as they went about their day. I was like, that is not because I don't consume a lot of YouTube. So I was like, I wouldn't even have thought to have done that.
Yeah.
That is actually that's the biggest growing like device for YouTube's watch like percentage. So they show like percentage like people watch on their phone, their laptop, or whatever have you. TV is the largest growing one. More and more people are throwing it up on the TV, which is why actually podcasts are doing very, very well for YouTube specifically, is because a video podcast, if someone's like clicking through it, because the UI trying to go through a TV is difficult. And so instead of like, if you pick a 3-minute video, you're going to have to come back with your remote and like, God dang it. You click a hour long video. It's like, great. I'll set that off while I go clean.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, it, depending on the platform, it's, you kind of have to play the algorithm. Like what, you have to play the game. Because I know with TikTok, we don't play the game nearly as well as we maybe
could. As all of you do, because
you guys know exactly the kind of content where we are retrofitting YouTube content to kind of work with TikTok, and it doesn't work that well. It works okay. So
well, but I feel like it makes me want to go to your YouTube and watch the full thing. It's the highlight reel.
That is the point of it. Yeah. It is free advertisement on us.
It is, and I guess that's all you all this because we would not. I shouldn't say this because I wouldn't know in another world, but really not be that on TikTok in general if we didn't have a channel. Is that similar for you all? Because was TikTok a thing you already did, or was it like, okay, I like books? And did you find BookTok through using TikTok?
Or did you
specifically go there to, you see what I'm saying? Yeah.
No, I watched BookTok videos for like a good year. I don't know if you guys did the same before. I was I might be able to do this. And then.
Cool.
Yeah. But I already had an account.
Oh, okay.
Got it.
Yeah. It was the same for me. I started mine though when I started really reading. Like I didn't read when I was younger. So finding BookTok made me interested in reading. And then it made me interested in making the content as well. Because I've always liked being creative and making videos. But I never had a niche that I was very passionate about. And then getting that like love for reading and then having a place where everyone talked about it, I was like, this is a good fit for me. I would like to live here.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Right. Yeah. Same. I was a consumer before I was a creator for sure.
Yeah. I asked all of you your reaction to BookTok spam. What was yours, Rich, as a BookTalker?
Mine?
Yeah. You didn't even know you don't have the app.
I don't have the app.
He does not even own TikTok. Like all the posting and all that stuff, I'm the only one who has the app to look at comments or anything.
Yeah, I don't have the app.
This is like a Kristen Maddie
it's fun.
Too.
Yeah. You know,
he sends me screenshots of things. It's great. So if you ever see a TikTok and like we're commenting and replying, I've never replied on a TikTok comment. Never have.
Never once.
Maybe I have. Like you handed me the phone.
No, no. I remember this specifically. We were a year into our channel. And I remember you went and downloaded TikTok and you're like, hey, I want to figure this out. He downloaded it for a day, said, hey, you got to show me how this works. And I said, I looked you in the eye, I said, delete it. Now, because I knew, no, as a friend, like not business, as a friend, I said, I don't think you can handle it. Because
you were right.
I genuinely didn't think, because I was doing that just at the time in life we were.
That is true.
You know what I mean?
I know.
Different times now. But at the time...
Oh, no. At the time, YouTube Shorts was too much for
me. Oh, my God.
And yeah. I could just imagine. No, you guys don't understand. I actually downloaded an app called, like, Revanced, yeah. like, version. Basically allows you to... It's a client-side app that allows you to mess with YouTube. Basically, what I did is download it so I could remove YouTube Shorts from the YouTube app. And I disabled all of them. Because I wanted to get rid of it. It was too much for me. I don't want to see it on there.
Okay, when you say too much, are you saying like the dopamine addiction of it is too much? Like you'll get sucked in? Okay.
Yes.
Oh, he's saying it as a user. Yeah.
I'm better now. But I remember that time. Yeah, it was bad. I could barely get off the couch sometimes. I'm just doom scrolling.
That's what the joke part too of it. When you're saying ban TikTok, like please save me from my enslavement, right?
No, part of me is like, this will be great for my mental health in some ways.
Yeah, the amount of times I clicked it knowing it was banned because my muscle memories just click, open it. I was like, this is an issue. Maybe you should take it away from me for a little bit.
Yeah. Now you guys see what I'm saying.
Honestly.
Interesting. You know, I will say, I think that being a creator saves me a little bit from being an addicted consumer. And I don't know if it's just a different shitty part of my mental health, but I just like I really do thrive on doing in my life. So I, you know, like I TikTok is competing with my books, and it's like I'm just like I have 4 hours of Wheel of Time I want to get through tonight. Don't get excited, Richard. I have like a lot of Wheel of Time tonight. So I don't have time to scroll or like I, you know, I'm recording with you guys or I'm editing something for this or I'm, you know, I'm responding to our Patreon family that we love so much and I'm engaging with them. And so there really isn't a lot of time in my day to consume, which is another reason why I love that TikTok has like aggregated this perfect little community for me so that I can like literally just pay attention to like the 10 to 12 people I really care about in a day. Mm-hmm. And they've posted, I've commented, I closed the app. Like there's too much else in my life that I'm addicted to. Mm. So I don't know. In some ways it's like, it is hard sometimes for me to like keep up on like watching you guys' content. Like I want to, and it's like, also there's a lot of books to read. You know what I'm saying?
Also, our videos are real long.
They're long. And also, I got to say, it looks like Allie from her reaction could not disagree more with her personal experience. I'm just saying, Allie sitting there like, I think I doom scroll. You were saying right before we started recording, you doom scroll like 6 hours just to get your TikTok back. And
I doom scrolled when it was going away. I was like, I got to get
your fix.
Every ounce of all the edits. I cannot lose my edits. But I will say, I agree with Maddie, like creating content feels like such a different screen time than like mindlessly scrolling on the FYP. I feel like I don't really use my FYP much. I'm mostly looking at like what my friends have been posting. And also that's like inspirational content. So it almost feels productive, even though I don't even think about it that way, but it's not like I'm looking at a bunch of, I don't know, random things that don't concern the platform that I'm creating on.
It does give me a thought of, I've seen some stuff on the science behind like doom scrolling and like the algorithm. It's not, there's actually a negative aspect to showing people everything they want. And that there's actually kind of how they keep you on for longer is they show you something like the first thing you see is something you actually would like.
Right.
And then something a little less interesting. Like, and then right before you actually click off, you get another really interesting one.
It's a slot machine.
Exactly.
Like gambling. Yeah.
And so it sounds like, Maddie, you're having a different experience with it where you're only getting good stuff. And so like the high, and then you're like, oh, I'm good and I'm done. And so I can click off. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering maybe the algorithm is just so good that you actually don't need to do
scroll. I trained it well. No, I think what it is like, what a problem to have. I'm so grateful. I just think there's so much in life for me right now to be excited about and that I want to do in a day that like, if I have like a issue. It's just like there's not enough hours in the day to like talk to all the people I'm interested in and read all the books I want to read and like consume the really cool quality content that people are producing. Like there's I will never absorb all of the good stuff out there. So yeah, it's a totally different issue for me. But I did have a question for you guys that was, and it's totally slipped now. Damn it.
When it comes back, interrupt me. Okay. Just completely interrupt, because I was going to say that, you know, started this episode going, why TikTok's getting banned, that there's a national security issue. That's why it was banned for the 14 hours. But most of the people and just most of the talk around like why people would like it being banned versus not liking it, it all kind of comes down to the doom scrolling or as a platform, the bad qualities TikTok has on it as a name. Obviously, we're all here book talkers. I also think of all the communities online, people that are nerding over books, people, even people who don't like TikTok and are like, hey, doom scrolling, all that. Oh, you're reading books. It's generally seen as a positive thing. So we have that.
I don't know. I've seen quite a few YouTube videos talking about like book talk is like the death of reading. Of like,
aesthetics. We're not actually reading any of the books.
Yeah, I remember seeing all those, which gotta say, actually meeting book talkers helps dispel that opinion.
But, I mean, yeah. But I guess everybody...
Also, as you can tell, I also care a lot about aesthetics, kind of.
A little bit.
I like the books. I like them pretty.
Yeah. Well, also, probably like 25% of them still haven't read, because meaning to read them. But, yeah.
Definitely. YouTubers might be the problem.
Oh, I know. We are. Oh, we definitely are. No one should watch YouTube. Everyone should go touch grass.
But the thing is, too, the things you can say about TikTok could just be said about the internet. Yeah. If people are talking about that. So,
yeah, my problems are not with TikTok or YouTube. It's the internet in general. I'm a general philosophy of the internet was mostly a mistake.
Look at us.
Mostly.
Look where we are.
I'm still here, but you know.
Did you think of it, Mads? We gave you some time to contemplate.
It was in that vein. It's just like that, like as consumers, do we think, I don't know, like, do we think that we would continue to read at this rate if we didn't have the community and if we didn't see our friends, you know, reading and getting us hyped about things? And that's why I really hope it doesn't go away. Like, in summation, I think while I have made my peace with it going away, I don't actually think that it will go away, because I have my own theories, and I know you don't want to get political, but I just do think this is financially driven. I don't think it's security driven. And so I do think that if ByteDance can be lured financially, and we can get our stakes in it, then I think it's going to continue. I think that my fear is that if that happens, that somehow the algorithm will change, and then I don't know, you know, if it will continue to be the place that it is. But I guess I don't want it to go away, and even though I'm at peace with it going away, and I don't think it will. But I just hope that if it stays around, it's still the same thing in essence. Okay, but what do you guys all think? I don't know. Do you guys really think, like, I think in 90 days there will be a deal. I think money will change hands and it will still be here.
Gina, Allie, thoughts? Do you think it's staying?
I think I've always thought it was going to stay. I think it's staying.
Yeah.
But yeah, the question of if it were to leave, how would that change, like, not even just how we read, but like the bookish industry, because so much of advertising is done through influencer work. And like, I have friends in publishing that they're like, what, like, we would lose some of our jobs without this.
Barnes & Noble has a table called Book Talk.
The Book Talk table, yeah.
Every Barnes & Noble I've seen has that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so many of the things that I was like planning on reading this year is because I've committed to them through Book Talk in some way, because like all the reading projects that I have are in some way like BookTok inspired. So would I do any of those things if I didn't have my accountability partners here with me? Who knows?
I can't speak for please give examples on TikTok and BookTok. For BookTube, the Sun Eater series would not be here without BookTube. You can, mm-hmm. you can
definitely.
Actually, Christopher Rocchio directly attributed Mike's book reviews for pushing his book out there to, like, he was not getting enough sales, and he dedicates one of his books or just gives a gives an attribution and say, hey, Mike, thank you for, like, making this still a thing. This probably wouldn't have continued without you.
That's
and so
amazing.
That's BookTube side. Do you guys know any books specifically that TikTok either just made so popular or... please give examples.
I swear Maddie has single-handedly made certain books and authors go viral. Like Artificial Wisdom. And like your kind of collaboration with the author, Weaver, Thomas Weaver.
Great video, by the way. Great video. Yeah.
Thank you. Like I wouldn't, and then you picked it up and then Smitty picked it up. And then it's like the chain reaction of all of the like fantasy book talkers who like and respect each other's taste, all picking it up in conjunction, that creates an insane amount of buzz for some of these indie authors. So that's what
do you have some?
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a pipeline of this year. We have a lot of fan fiction authors becoming traditionally published because of sites like BookTok. They're getting that recognition because like something like Manacolds, it come in waves every year, but because BookTok was so big last year, it really made it into the book talk space. And I would say that those three authors definitely had a easier time getting into the publishing industry because of, they had this community that was coming with them. Mm-hmm. And so I would say like without book talk, I don't know if we would be seeing those authors this year on the shelves with their books. So, but yeah.
It seems like social media and book talk itself has taken a lot of power and influence that the publishing industry itself has, and that maybe the industry, the people who would be cheering for BookTok's downfall would be the publishers themselves. Though maybe they're making money on the back and they don't care whether, you know,
here's where
they're
I
now
think
in a beneficial point.
Back.
So
yeah, here's
who
where
knows?
I think you might be wrong, Rich, but I totally see that angle. But I think specifically with the special editions, everything's coming out at Barnes & Noble special edition and they're so visual right now. I think that is 100% because people are sharing them visually on social media. So maybe they resent us, but they're definitely playing our game. They're like, oh, this is going to show up in people's videos and we want our books to be the ones that people are like, oh, what's that in the background? Because it's sprayed edges or like people want to talk about the pretty books. Yeah.
So, they win either way. They lost influence, but now they're, getting paid on the other side.
And they tailor make their own influencer lists and it's not always easy to get on them. Yeah. So, I mean, there are definitely publishers who are pickier and choosier with their influencer lists than others. I think that indie publishing for sure has been successful because of social media. Like I'm thinking like ML Wong, I'm thinking Olivia Blake. Like there are people who are now bestsellers who are like literally couldn't even get an agent with their original works and now they're those books are bestsellers. So
Michael R. Miller also did fantastic with
ML Wong.
Yeah. Yep. So
Austin, I guess like a question for that would be, as a writer, would you feel so comfortable self-publishing if you didn't have the social media behind you to be able to promote it? Or would you go the traditional publish route with Curry?
So the TikTok, no, because since we're more BookTube, I wasn't like freaking out because of that. But
social media in general.
Social media in general.
All that went away.
No, social media in general, it feels way better having a platform and being able to have the option to self-publish. I would want to traditionally publish. So the goal is try. If I fail that, still self-publish and have the fortune, the opportunity because have a channel and everything. Because if I write the book, I want it to get out there somehow. And so it's good to have that as a fallback, but also not good to have that as a fallback because sometimes if you don't have that social media fallback of like, hey, you know, people are going to read it, it could push you to make sure the quality is there. Not to say self-publishing isn't quality, because Sword Kagan's my favorite book of all time, like up there, and it's a self-published book. I just mean, comedians, for example, the way comedians make it big is you go through trial and error and you're like, you fail so many times going up and trying to stand up bit. You know what it's like to be in a room and people not to laugh at your joke. And you keep going until you finally get it and you work the crowd. Self-published authors, which can be phenomenal books, some of my favorites, it could make you lazy. And so the hope is that I'm not lazy enough to go, oh, since I have an audience, I'll just write schlop and then get it out there. So if you go in with the right intentions, obviously. So a lot of caveats I'm trying to weave in there, but it can be bad because you think you have a safety net. But the great about it is that you can get your work out there. So yeah.
Well, I think there's a difference between the self-publish barrier where because there is no barrier to publishing in that sense, like you can release whatever. There's no quality control, and that's kind of the risk. I think you're hitting on very specific book YouTubers releasing a book. Like, you already have a built-in audience from something else, and so you releasing a book, whether or not it's good or not, you're going to have some degree of audience.
Yeah.
And that is very different from, you know, your author that's just starting something. Well, Emma Wong,
for example, because it's not like she had social media that made this book. She made a book, and it got big through it being a good book and social media spreading it. There's so many books we don't hear about because they don't have
TikTok? No, she does not have a TikTok.
I was about to say,
it just got popular on social media.
Yeah. Because that we have a lot of survivorship bias with books, obviously, because there's how many we don't hear about just because they're not so think of that. If you're not a creator, for example, and I was going to bring up an example. I will not. If you're not a creator,
I think I know what you're talking about.
But if you're not a creator and you publish the book, you wouldn't if he even gotten the bad reviews to begin with. But let's say you write a book and you're a creator, people are going to read it. You can get a lot of bad reviews, but make some money off of it. And if whatever your goal is, so a lot of that. So Gina, question back to you then. What do you think? Because how much did you consider your platform and that you have that self-publishing option when you write your book?
Yeah, everything you said, I agree with, where it could be a little bit that laziness. It's like, well, I know someone maybe will at least read it. I've always known, like, well, my dad will read it, but he's not going to tell me the truth about it. I think how I view it is social media in general for self-publish, it gives them less of a fear because they don't have to throw a bunch of money. They can throw themselves into these videos and like make that without having to do this. And for me, the reason I like that is if I were to not be able to get something traditionally published, I can self-publish and know it's not going to cost me thousands to market it. I have a little bit, it's not guaranteed that it's going to get in front of people, but I can put that money towards the editing. I think that's where my mind goes, is where's my money going?
Great point.
I want to go towards the quality, not necessarily like, oh, I want someone to hold this up for me and hopefully get a few likes so people see it. That's kind of where I thought of it.
Every indie author we've talked to, we have these collabs on here. We do a indie author roundtable. Always says how much they dislike talking about the marketing of it too. That Michael R. Miller makes a great point of most of the panels he gets invited to is, oh, how to market your book. Because self-published authors are often put in that category of you're a marketer, you're not a writer. And which isn't the case for someone like Michael and everybody's writing a book. You're obviously like, oh, I'd like to write. That's why I want this. You don't want their business half.
They are failing because they're being put into a different category than just author.
Yeah.
It's author with an asterisk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I get that.
This affects consumers and readers, affects authors, marketers, affects how big books can get. And what do we even learn here? Like, what's our overall take? And Allie, I'm going to start with you because when I throw it at you, you're always like fumbling and you're like, whoa, me. And then you go up. So you have to answer first and then we'll go through.
Final thoughts.
The overall take on this entire discussion.
Exactly. I just knew your reaction would be like a bewildered face. So I just had to do it to you.
You're not used to answering without the ability to edit before.
That TikTok. Welcome to BookTube. It gets real here.
We were going off the cuff and I was like, but I need my notes. And you can see in the video, I'm like on my phone panicking. I don't know. Like there's so many, I think it affects everyone in a different way. It affects everyone in like a million different ways.
Mm-hmm.
From like the creator side of it. Like you just talked to three different people who have like three completely different outlooks on the future, where their future is in it. How they think TikTok is going to change, how they think it's affected the publishing industry from the publishing side of things. Like, it's a blessing and a curse for them. It's giving power to the people, but also they're influencing the people more than they think they are. I don't know.
Allie, to put you on that point, I have this number pulled up. This is unbelievable. This is in December of 2023 that TikTok, the BookTok had over 200 billion views, meaning everybody in the world would have watched it 25 times, and that's in 2023. So, I mean, we're talking coming on 2 years later, or at least over a year later. So, like, the amount of effect it has is crazy, and it's nice to know we're like at least 0.00001% of that population. So we can't speak for all of BookTube, but it seems like you're saying, Allie, from everybody's different perspective here. It seems like all the issues are being brought up. Like, oh yeah, this is actually Mads comes in more stoically. She's like, yeah, do it, and I'll challenge myself. So other than Mads, it seems like that we're taking it as a more of it affects industry, it affects readers, it affects doom scrollers, and way that everybody here. Can we get a final take of you'd rather have Book Talk stay around, Allie? I assume because you love it that much, and I'm gonna assume the Book Talker here wants to keep Book Talk.
Yes, on my end, I will say yes.
Okay, yes, Gina, and what's your overall take, Gina?
Yep. I overall.
No, that'll be hilarious. Yep. We ask, like, get the stereotype. All the Book Talkers just give 60-second responses this whole video, and then we're
just that's a video. That's a short video on itself of Book Talkers trying to do YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, just like Allie, I overall would love to keep it, but just like with Maddie, I'm willing to like shift, but thinking outside of myself and not selfishly, because I can look at it a very self-centered way where I make probably 30% of my money from content from TikTok. That would kind of suck, but it's not the end for me. I know it is the end for a lot of people, like small businesses outside of the book community.
Yeah.
And just knowing that some people's their entire community is on TikTok and they haven't expanded and maybe the niche doesn't work somewhere else. That's why I'm like, we need to keep this. And for me also then about personally, some of the most important people in my life I met because of TikTok, and I never would have met without it. And that's where it's like insane to think about how many people are out there that won't be able to connect if that's not around. But on like the creator side, I'm like one toe in, one toe out. What are we doing here? Please just make a decision so I can stop being back and forth with it. But if I had to choose, I'd be like, we're keeping this so that I don't keep opening an app that won't let me watch anything.
And you're all a squad now. You're all friends. That's just from Book Talk. That's, I mean, we have that to thank too for all the friends we've made over just the course of BookTube.
So how many of our patron members came from TikTok specifically, not actually YouTube?
I should have mentioned that way earlier. That oh my god, I'm a horrible host here. I'm a horrible co-host because I asked people online going, hey, we're doing a video on the TikTok ban. How it affects Book Talk? What do you think? Got a ton of messages. About 30% going like, good, I'm glad, I need to get off. It's like crack cocaine to me, I need to stop. I got another 30% that were saying, hey, I only found you guys through TikTok. That's how I know who you are at all or watch your stuff. And the other 30% was like a range of like, Rich is bald and like, you know, whatever, different stuff. But for the most part, we had a lot of people.
There's a reason I don't scroll through the TikTok comments. They're very different than the YouTube comments.
That was actually Instagram, so they were.
I don't have that either.
But yeah, so we had a lot of varying responses too. But great point, Sheeta. And Mads, did you want to also put in your final encapsulating thoughts of this whole journey we've been on?
I do just want to say, I do not want to be toxically positive about it. I think it will be a huge loss, and because I do believe that it's financially driven, I think that it will be not only an emotional loss, but also kind of just like a moral shit show if it does go away for this reason. But not to be toxically positive, I just truly, truly believe that people are the magic, not the platform. And I guess I just believe in my own desire to find people and my ability to be attracted to the people that are good for me, that I will find my people wherever they may be, even if it's on YouTube before I was on YouTube, Austin and Rich. So like, I don't know. I do think that a lot of authors are actually more present on Instagram than they are on TikTok. I've never really understood why that is, but I've had an Instagram for a very long time specifically to follow authors and keep up on their updates. So like, I've been using all the platforms, even though TikTok is my favorite, because people are the magic and I will go where the magical people are, even if it's not my favorite platform.
People are magic. I like that. The democracy, Rich.
Cringe.
Cringe. That's it. I'm not finishing Wheel of Time.
Go!
No!
I don't know if you saw Mads, but that was the best comedic timing I've seen in a long time, where you said you were going and it's like, don't get excited, Rich. And Rich already had his finger up when you said that. Like, I don't know if you saw that live, but Nick, when you're editing, you'll see it. You'll see it. If people that were watching could see your finger go up and she said, Rich, nope. And then you put your finger
back down.
It was beautiful. But in conclusion, we have Allie Reads, A-L-L-I-E Reads. You can help readers can spell Reads. Find her on TikTok. Gina. Now, here's the thing. Gina's name is G-I-N-A, but Gina Reads, you can see here, it's G-E-E-N-A-H Reads. And we have Chris and Mads. Now, on TikTok, it's a little different. Chris.Mads, right? But on
Chris
YouTube,
dot and dot Mads, but literally just search Chris and Mads, you'll find us.
They're them. You'll find them, right? I guess we were hoping Smitty could jump in, but it looks like now I got an email from just now saying like, oh, I don't think he'll answer though. I was trying to get a last minute appearance.
Darn,
from Smitty. But Rich, what are your final thoughts?
The CCP wins again.
Well, do they? 90 days?
No, I guess not. Who knows?
We'll find out.
TikTok lives to fight another day. And I'll be honest, I really am just kind of on the fence of like, it probably should still exist. And I'm happy for all of it. And it's more of a personal thing of like, I don't like TikTok. So I'm like, yeah, ban it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I understand that I am not the only person on this earth. Sometimes I forget that.
Well, that was another Tudor Ramble episode. Check out, as always, we have our book club in the top description. Well, actually, right below all their links. We'll put it below this time. I guess we'll prioritize them. And so check out our book club. I think right now we're doing Blood Over Brighthaven. Anybody have thoughts on that? Is it good?
Banger. Yeah.
Banger.
I mean, it's Emma Wong. I would expect nothing less. So, All right, everybody. Thank you all three for coming on. That's been another Tudor Ramble episode. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Now Taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is Taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live, must start and file in app by 2/18.